Let me encourage you to open your bulletin. Isn't it pretty? Yeah. One of the things that I've been privileged to do over the years is to be in a number of our national parks. National parks are wonderful places. They're places where people get to see some of God's greatest creation. And one of the places that I've had the chance to be at a number of times is the Yosemite Bible Encampment in Yosemite National Park. And it's one of my favorite national parks, although they're all amazing. As you look at that picture, you see some really, really, really high bluffs. One of them is called Half Dome. It's a place where a glacier has cut the side out of a granite mountain. Facing that is a area that is called Glacier Point. Glacier Point is a vertical wall, like the one that you see on the left-hand side of your picture. When we first pulled into the valley, one of the first things Cindy said is, "Oh, I want to get to the top." Well, how do you get to the top? Well, there's a couple of ways you can do it. One way you can do it is you can go straight up the face of the cliff. And one of the amazing things is to watch people doing that. They climb up there, they stick spittins in the rock. You can't make it in one day, so they have a hammock. They stretch between two spittins on the side of the mountain, and they sleep in the hammock on the side of the rock. And the next morning they continue their journey. It takes a certain amount of insanity, but there's a lot of folks doing it. That's the hard way to get to the top. But even then, you can't see the top until you get there. The other way is the coward's way. That's my way. You take a road that goes to the top. But the road goes back and forth. It's a thing called switchbacks. And it goes up through a beautiful forest. Lots of things to see on the way up. But after about 50 switchbacks, Cindy was tired of that, and she said, "When do we get to the top?" Took time. Took effort. You couldn't see the top until you got there. You know, there's a lot of parallels between that and life. How do you get the top? There are no shortcuts. You can't go straight up the cliff and be there. One of the lessons of the nation of Israel is that they had some of the same challenges we have as a nation. I'd like to look at five of those challenges this morning. And you may want to keep looking at that picture and think about what you would do to get to the top. First of all, Israel is promised something they can't see. Life is like that. We've got some young people here. They have no idea what lies ahead. Israel is told something. They're promised something. In Exodus 6 and verse 6, God says, "I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob." This is a generation of Israel that knew nothing but slavery. They couldn't visualize freedom. You know, one of the things I haven't seen addressed much in all of the conflict that's going on in our world today, certainly with the horrible thing that happened in Orlando, is that people can't visualize freedom. People living under the yoke of Islam don't understand what it means to be free. There are a lot of folks out there today that are on the lake and the river, on the golf course. They have freedom to do that. They wouldn't have that freedom under the yoke of the slavery of Islam or any of the other isms that are out there. There's no way Israel could directly go to the promised land. There was no straight shot up the face of the cliff. And you know, that's like us. We're promised an existence we have never known. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5, we talked about this last week. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. You know, I can't tell you what that's going to be like. I can read it. So can you. I don't know what imperishable means. But I am looking forward to being changed. No more forgetting where I put stuff. No more aches and pains. No more problems with kids. But you know, one of the things Israel had to do to get to the promised land was they had to go through a desert. In Exodus 16, beginning at verse 1, we read that the whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after they came out of Egypt. Okay, it's been 45 days since they left slavery. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we had around pots of meat and all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Wow. It's been 45 days since they left Egypt. It's been 45 days since slavery. It's been 45 days since every one of them suffered abuse. But they've forgotten that. Deserts are exhausting. Let me ask you to think about something. What's your desert? What's your desert? Is it diabetes? Is it abuse? Is it cancer? Is it drugs? Is it alcohol? Is it idiotic relatives? What's your desert? Have you forgotten the slavery you were in? Have you forgotten living without hope? Have you forgotten what sin was like? You know, the third thing that happens here is that God hovers in answering their needs. In Genesis 1 and verse 2, the Bible says the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. That word hovering involves being right there. Some translations say fluttering or shaking. God was active in the creation that occurred on the earth. In Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, verses 10 and 11. In a desert land, he found him in a barren and howling waste. He shielded him and cared for him. He guarded them as the apple of his eye, like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young and spreads its wings to catch them and carries them on his pinions. That's referring to Moses. And as we read the history of Israel in the desert, one of the things that we are impressed with is the fact that God was constantly there, constantly offering solutions to the things that they were faced with. God's presence is with us as well. You're in a desert today? God cares. Jesus cares. God is there wanting to offer you hope, support. But it's up to you to accept that support. It was up to Israel to give themselves to what God called them to do. But the fourth point I'd like to make with this is that God doesn't force that. You know, it's interesting. One of the passages that I love very much in the Bible is Acts 17. And most of us know this passage pretty well, but I want to emphasize something with it today. As that passage describes our relationship to God and God's presence with us, I want you to notice what it says. From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the time set for them and the exact places they should live. Now listen to this verse. God did that so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. You see, God hovers, but God doesn't force. God offers solutions, but God doesn't mandate that you accept his solutions. One of the things that's important for us to understand is that God has given us choice. And God called you today, as he called Israel, to allow him to be a force in your life, to help you make decisions, to help you live in a way that is productive. And it's important to understand that doing that and the deliverance it offers requires extending. You know, one of the amazing stories in the Bible is Exodus 14, beginning with verse 15, when Israel gets to the edge of the Red Sea. And the Bible says in verses 15 and 16, the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on." Tell them to move on. And, you know, here they are. They got a mountain on one side, they got a mountain on the other side, they got an ocean in front of you, and the Egyptians are coming up behind you. Move on! Reach your staff out and stretch your hand over the sea to divide the water so Israel can go through on dry land. Let me tell you something, folks. That was not an option Moses had in mind. Going forward into that ocean was not what he would have envisioned. God does something brand new. And I would like to suggest to you that God does brand new things in our lives as well. God offers us solutions, but they're not always what we expect, but they're always in reach. Listen to Deuteronomy 30, beginning with verse 9. Deuteronomy 30, beginning with verse 9, God is talking about the things that have happened. And this is Israel, of course, he's talking to. He says, "Then the Lord God will make you the most prosperous in all the work of your hands and the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock and the crops of your land. The Lord again will delight in you and make you prosperous, just as he delighted in your fathers. If you obey the Lord your God and keep his commands and decrees that are written in this book of the law and turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." Now listen to this. "Now what I am commanding for you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach." Living as a Christian is not too difficult for you. It's not beyond your reach. But even in the Old Testament, this was true. "It is not up in heaven so that you will have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it or proclaim it to us so we may obey it. No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so that you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. You see, God has not told us to do something that is too difficult to us. And God has not told us that here's some big challenge you have to do. You have to go to Mecca. You have to go to some distant land. You have to do some kind of amazing feat. You have to have some kind of incredible faith that will let you sacrifice your child on an altar. None of that is a requirement of God. What God has asked us to do is to love God. We can do what God commands. You know, one of the problems people have with Christianity? It is simply too simple. That's one of the problems our neighbors have. It's just too simple. If we had something complicated, if we had to write some great composition, if we had to recite some great poem, if we had to memorize a bunch of stuff, we'd have a lot more people interested. If we had to have some kind of great entertainment, there'd be a lot of folks interested. But believing in God and living a life that involves serving others, and having the opportunity to gather together and to serve the needs of the people in which we live, that's too simple. It's just not glamorous enough. And the last point I want to make to you is that deliverance sometimes will challenge our expectations. Again, in Exodus 15 and verse 17, God says, "You will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance." Exodus 3 and verse 8, "I have come to rescue them from the hands of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of a land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey." But not for 40 years. But not for 40 years. See, sometimes our expectations are more than we actually will realize. Do you realize that Moses never set foot in the promised land? He never got there. He had something better, but he never got there. The Lord buried his body. Boy, I'd love to have the Lord bury my body. To have that kind of commitment and relationship to God. And let me tell you, folks, Mom and Dad, especially here we are at Father's Day, sometimes our prayers are for things we will not see. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart therefrom. I think probably every Christian adult in here prays their child will live and die as a Christian. That's our prayer. That's our hope. That's our dream. But we may not live long enough to see it. How many times in the Bible were there cases where somebody came to the Lord in old age? How many times do we see individuals amazed to find out something their child has done that they never knew was even being considered? Sometimes our prayers are for things we won't see, such as our kids becoming Christians. Father's Day, a great day. It's not as important as Mother's Day, but it's a great day. It's an opportunity to remind us of what a great blessing we have to be fathers. I'm thankful for Father's Day just because it reminds me I have kids. And while they're not perfect, I still love them. And while they don't do everything I wish they would do, the fact is they are still growing and there's still hope. Hebrews 11 and verse 13 said, "All of these people," this is talking about all those great fathers, "all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance." You ever thought about that? All those biblical heroes, Noah, Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, rattle them off, all 12 of those patriarchs. They never saw it. They never saw it. They were longing, it says, for a better country, a heavenly one. And so too, I come back to my initial question. What desert are you in? What are you struggling right now? If you sat down with a pad of paper and wrote down things that are frustrating you, things that are bothering you, things that you wish, what would you write? What desert are you in? Look back at that picture. You want to get to the top, right? You know, a lot of people start up that wall and don't make it. They don't fall off, usually. They start up, a lot of them start up realizing they probably won't make it. And what's interesting about that, I talked to one of the rangers out there and I said, well, what about most of those folks? He said, most of them end up driving around to the top. They'll still get there. But there's no shortcuts. And it's important for us as human beings to realize there are no shortcuts. God wants you to live a life that reaches out, a life that celebrates knowing God, having a heart that is shaped and molded to be with God. And you do that by becoming a Christian. You do that by living the Christian life. You do that by sharing in prayer with the needs that you have with brothers and sisters who care about you and who count it a joy to pray with you. And if you have a need you'd like to bring to us this morning, we invite you to do that. As together we stand and sing to encourage you, won't you please come?